Best worst case scenario podcast.
I don't know where we're going, and there's no sign we are slowing.
No sign we're stopping.
Yeah, that scene really actually scared me when I was a kid. See, I thought I was watching Willy Wonka, and then
that scene
came on, and I was like, this is satanic, man. What am I watching?
It felt like a horror movie turned into one.
Did.
And it was so good, it scared all those kids on that boat, for real.
I know, I would have pooped into the chocolate river right then, man.
I think they were adding their own ingredients.
Maybe that's why it's chocolate.
It's the sewage line.
Speaking of adventures, we just got back from an adventure.
We did.
A long, faraway place where there was not Oompa Loompas.
Or chocolate.
No chocolate either. But what did they do have, Dana?
They had a big hairy ape man.
Yeah, we went to Arizona to see our grandmother.
And she's not a Bigfoot.
No, she's the littlest foot, man. She's tiny.
She's a little foot.
Well, tiny height-wise. Wow. I mean, like, you know what I mean. I'm not
digging yourself a ditch right now.
I'm sorry, Grandma, if you're listening. I love you.
She's little.
So we went to Coolidge, which is
about an hour south of Phoenix.
Yeah, kind of central south.
When you say south.
Southy central.
South Arizona, kind of. Southern.
Ish. Yeah.
But not quite. Not quite Tucson. Not Bisbee South.
Yeah.
Where it's on the border.
Not a lot in Coolidge.
It's cool if you like sand and dirt.
And guys carrying their dummy girlfriends alongside the road. That was interesting.
He carried like a dressed up blow up doll down the streets and stuff.
Yeah, we were driving past him and I was like, oh my God, we got to call the cops. This guy's carrying a woman on his shoulders in broad daylight down the street.
And then we realized it was a doll.
And then we were more scared.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. That's the excitement for Coolidge.
Yeah, I had a good time. But what we really did while we were in Arizona, and one of the reasons we went there, was to check out a legend of folklore and myth. Something in the Arizona hills and cactuses that no one talks about, but tons of people have seen.
The Mogollon Monster.
When we think of the word Sasquatch, or Bigfoot, oftentimes the Pacific Northwest comes to mind, with its sprawling forests and high misty mountains. It's the perfect place to hide for an ancient and long forgotten legend. But the United States is vast. Across plains and canyons, swamps and valleys, there are other legends whispered about in the unexplored places of the world. One such place borders civilization in central eastern Arizona. Beneath the beating sun, it walks. Between the ponderosa pines and gamble oaks, you may see it. But when the desert sun sinks below the horizon and the night creatures come out, that is when you must worry and pray you never cross paths with the Mogollon Monster.
I'd like just Mogi.
Merman. Yeah. You know, he might be a pretty nice guy, though.
Smokey on. Just call him Mo. Why can't we call him Mo?
Yeah, maybe he's a nice guy, and he doesn't deserve all the bad rap.
Let's talk some Mo about him. He's the Bigfoot of Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what is specific about this Bigfoot that sets him apart from the other ones?
He's pretty much the same as the Pacific Northwest's Bigfoot.
He might be a little bit smaller.
That's debatable. Some of those reports, he's like 8 or 9 feet tall.
That's true.
And I think the main difference would be his hair color in Arizona. They say he's black, got black hair, but there's been some reports that he's got white or tan hair.
I wonder if that's like a mechanism to blend in with the Arizona scenery. You don't have like the dark green trees that you have in Washington and the West Coast. So maybe the tan and white is a way to blend in with that.
Yeah. That's the Sasquatch. That's a Moggy and Monster.
Yeah. But like the other Bigfoot, this one is known for being over 7 feet. Large ape-like bipedal creature.
Rides a unicycle.
Rides a
just like Dogman.
He has red eyes, which that one's kind of interesting. I haven't heard that many people say they've gotten close enough to see its eyes.
Some people say he's got red eyes, not everyone, right?
Yeah. And the interesting thing, though, is that he's covered in long black, sometimes reddish brown hair. So really all the colors. Is what we're saying.
Really colorblind people are reporting these sightings.
It was dark out.
You could say any color.
The weird thing is that they say that it has long black hair. So you're not just seeing this fluffy, furry creature, but it's actually got like scraggly, long hair coming off of it.
Some of them got different hairstyles, right? If it's that long.
Yeah, most of them have mullets. I think
actually I like that idea.
Bigfoot probably has a mullet.
I like that.
If anyone has a mullet, it's Bigfoot. He don't care.
Yeah, from the south. Their red eyes, though, I think their eyes have been known to glow in the dark.
Do you mean like an animal's eyes glow when you shine light at
no,
it?
No. Like one of the reports said that it was glowing before his light hit the face. They were already glowing.
Glowing red.
In the dark. In the night. Glowing.
Wow.
What would cause that? Just rage?
Pure evil.
Pure rage.
Pure Bigfootery.
That you're camping in his, like, toilet area.
I was gonna poop there. Now you're walking over there. So, it's reported to dwell in central and eastern Arizona.
Well, it's so funny, huh?
I don't know. It just hit me that we're talking about the Moggian Monster, which Dana and I, for the longest time, were calling it the Moglin Rim and the Moglin Monster.
Yeah, if you check out our videos on this episode, I think we say Moglin.
Watch our YouTubes.
We say Moglin once or twice.
I think it was all Dana. I think I said it right.
Because we didn't. Research. We didn't care to look at how you pronounce
hey,
this word.
If you know anything about us, pronunciations aren't our strong suit. And that's okay. Yeah. Because we give you much more than proper names and how to say things the right way.
Yeah, this ain't a grammar podcast.
So like I said, it's reported to dwell in the central and eastern Arizona area along the Moggian Rim.
Yeah, exactly. And how long is that rim?
It's a big old rim. It is
200 miles.
It's 200 miles long, but get this. The whole area of the rim is approximately 5,000 square miles.
The whole area? 5,000?
Yes.
What? How is that even possible? The U.S. isn't even that big, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's very much so. And this is what I'm saying. This is why when people say they don't believe in Bigfoot, I'm like, listen, there is so much area just in the United States that people don't live, that people haven't been to, that is just so far out there. We don't know what's out there. We don't know.
It's true. And that's why Sasquatch might be bunking with like aliens or dogmen, you know? They might be all in the same area, you know, helping each other stay hidden.
Yeah, like Scooby-Doo.
Well, we can talk about later, like, the skepticism and the valid points of why scientists and skeptics don't believe in Bigfoot.
Right.
And they make, there's good points of why.
There like, is. Like, there's always good points.
Like, where the body is at, huh?
But before we get anywhere further, I just want to give people a little bit of a better idea about the Moggian Rim. In general, and what this place is, so you can appreciate why this place could be home to something mythical.
The Moggy.
A It's a geological feature that goes along the northern half of Arizona. It extends, like we were saying, approximately 200 miles, starting in northern Yavapai.
Say that again.
Yavapai, Dana.
I don't have a pie.
County.
I don't have a pie. I'm sorry.
And it runs eastward, ending near the border with New Mexico. It forms the southern edge of the Colorado Plateau in Arizona. It's known for its high cliffs of limestone and sandstone, and at elevations of 5,000 to 8,000 feet, it's not uncommon to see snow and freezing temperatures at the top.
You don't say.
Which we did.
Yeah, don't say. That's a year-round thing, I think.
I think it's now?
Almost always snowing up there.
Get out of town.
It's always fucking snowing, I think. And that's the way Mogi likes it.
Shut your mouth.
The way the Mogi likes it, he likes the snow.
Yeah. So Dane and I drove there.
Yeah, we went with our mom.
Yeah, we did. We took mom along.
She wanted to come along.
You know,
in case Bigfoot snatched us up.
Our mom's a little obsessed with Bigfoot, but it's okay. Because so are we.
She's a bigger believer than we are.
Yeah. So I think it was really fun to bring mom on that trip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you might even see her in some of the footage. I don't know.
I think you will. But on the way up there, the weather, like I was saying, it just changed drastically. Like, it's like 80s. Maybe it was a little bit cooler that day.
Well, we drove north, and the further north we got, the colder it got.
Don't you say, man.
And the higher we went, the colder it got, because we went up to fucking Mountain Man.
Yeah.
The fucking Mountain Man. Like, in Ireland now.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't plan exactly for this trip, per se. Like, we wanted to go check out Bigfoot in this area, but we didn't know how the elevation or how cold it would be before we flew out to Arizona. Yeah,
we almost went camping up there, guys.
We almost, yeah, like fucking bought some tents and stuff. And
we wouldn't have been here. We would have froze our balls off.
No, I think the Mogi would have kept us safe.
Yeah, he would have spooned us.
He would have kidnapped us and taken us to his cave, which is pretty warm, I bet.
Okay. I don't want to go down that road, man. Because luckily, that didn't happen. Yeah. Instead, we went up. We went on some hikes there.
We came, we saw. We got the fuck out.
Froze our butts off, yeah.
It was started snowing, and it was like 20 degrees up there. And we had like our Arizona garb on.
I know. Father Winter came up and slapped us in the face.
We had our still suits on, man. We weren't ready.
Yeah. So, anyways, we'll get more into our trip and what we found. Big spoiler later on,
and what
guys.
We didn't.
And what we didn't. Let's get back to the rim. So, this place is huge. In a lot of the higher regions, you find a lot of trees like ponderosa pines and gamble oaks and some other names of trees that I can't recall.
He's losing his fucking way of talking, people. Donate to Patreon right now and help save this boy's speech. We're gonna need like a fucking therapist.
Yeah, but
speech coach.
So it's really like rugged terrain, and when you get lower off of the rim, then you get into more like foothills and cactuses.
Big foothills.
Yeah, more Bigfoot. That's funny, man. So there's like cactuses and dry creek beds and all of this like cow poo that we walked through.
I think it was horse.
Might have been Bigfoot.
No, I think it was horse.
Okay.
But I bet Bigfoot was tracking that horse.
Yeah.
But was disappointed when he saw somebody riding it.
That's my horse.
Well, no, he can't. He can't bring that horse down and eat it because somebody's on it. Bigfoot don't mess around with people, really.
Except when he does, which we'll get to. Because he definitely. This is the thing about the Mogollon Beast, guys, is that this Bigfoot is more aggressive and angry than any other of the Bigfoot sightings that I've heard about.
And I think it's because he lives in Arizona.
And he's fucking pissed about it.
He's frustrated. Like, a lot of the people there, I noticed, drive like crazy.
It's Mad Max, guys.
Everyone drives like 15 or 20 over, and they ride your ass.
And like, they scream, Valhalla!
They ride your ass so close, so hard. They don't even buy you dinner first, man. It's crazy.
It's a sorry state of affairs down there, ain't it?
It's like driving angry with Nicolas Cage.
Don't know if I've seen that.
I haven't.
Okay. Moving on.
Well, what have we said? Where did we leave off?
That he's a big, angry, tall man.
That he's got some red eyes,
with some
right?
Long ass hair.
And red eyes.
Long ass hair.
God. That's so nasty, man. But he's got that old.
Dingleberries
brain.
For days, man. It's the graphic. We should put a warning on this podcast. Don't listen. Don't listen.
That's so bad. So, aside from those big, shiny red eyes, I don't know if you said he has a really strong odor, too. Like, he's never showered or used Old Spice in his life.
He could be the spokesperson.
He'd be actually a really good commercial for Old Spice. His scent is, like, said to be, like, dead fish, skunks, or decaying peat moss. Which I don't know what peat moss is, but it sounds nasty.
Or a hobo who ate too much Taco Bell also those descriptions.
Yeah. So you'll probably smell him before you see him. But the report suggests that he's nocturnal, omnivorous, and territorial, which plays into the whole violent, aggressive nature he's got.
It's my desert. You get.
Yeah.
Get on out.
But it's assumed he has giant strides and leaves behind footprints measuring up to 22 inches.
Which, I found that crazy.
Which I don't know if I believe that. I mean,
Tell us why.
I kind of believe in Bigfoot. I mean, I do more so, I think, than I don't. But I haven't seen him.
But why is 22 inches so ridiculous? Do you know why?
Yeah, I do.
Tell the people. Preach.
22 inches is also 560 millimeters for non-US folk out there. For reference, Shaq's shoe size is 23, which is about 15 inches, and he's 7'1". So tack on another 7 inches to that. I don't see how.
Are we sure this ain't just Shaq running around that Arizona desert, man?
I don't see how. If that was his length of his foot, how he would be under 9 feet. Like the tallest guy in the world, I think he died in the 50s or something. He was 8'11", and mm-hmm. his shoe size was like 37 AA, which was 18 inches. And that was still 4 inches short of what they're saying this thing might have.
Yeah.
And he's 8'11". I mean, it is possible. It's like, I'm comparing it to like the ratio of our height with shoe size, but maybe Bigfoot can be shorter with much larger
maybe
feet.
Maybe he's got clown feet. He's got big old dick.
Oh my God. That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah. That's really scary. And a red nose that he squeaks while he's chasing you through the woods.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy. I looked that up too. What's funny is I went down that same rabbit hole where I Googled like NBA players' shoes and Shaq's and stuff, and I was like, damn, 15 inches. Like, so that's still 7 inches short.
You're Googling Shaq and big dicks and stuff.
Yeah. My Google history is crazy, guys. Never look at it.
Good God.
So you're right. This thing is probably upwards of at least 8 feet.
Yeah. It enjoys exploring campsites at night. Some of its hobbies include building nests out of twigs and leaves, and occasionally throws rocks at people. People it doesn't like.
Yeah, and selling weed to kids behind school, too. Some of that.
The Mogi's got a stogie for me out back. But the Mogi here, the Bigfoot in Arizona, that's kind of different from the Pacific Northwest, is it's known to decapitate its prey.
This is crazy. To rip a deer's head off.
Rip a dick off a man.
To rip a deer's head off. Like, why would it do that?
Maybe to just drink the blood.
It sounds like Predator versus Aliens, you know? Like, just like it hunts for sport almost. Like, and it just, I mean, I'm sure it eats the deers too, but
It's got to be pretty bored then if it's for sport.
No, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does take these deers and eat them, but.
Deers or deer?
Deer, whatever.
I'm asking.
I thought
you.
This wasn't a grammar podcast, Dan.
No, I was just wondering.
but this brings up something really crazy. There is a photo out there, guys. You can look this up. Bob Gimlin is the guy who covers it in a YouTube video, but I'm pretty sure it's all over across like Reddit Bigfoot like sort of circles.
Yeah, we mentioned him in our episode, The Man Eaters.
He just keeps popping 33. Up. Yeah.
But what about this photo?
So there is this photo of this big thing walking into the brush, and it's carrying something. Some people thought it was wood. Some people thought it was a deer. I know it sounds like those things don't look like each other at all, but if you look at the picture, it's tough. You don't know what it's carrying. But this thing has the largest head and back and just like a super muscular dude or bear with a rounded head.
It kind of looks like a gorilla.
Like a brown gorilla.
Are there brown gorillas out there?
No.
Yeah, this one's brown, and its back is so built, it looks like it hasn't missed a day in the gym.
Back day every day.
It was like 12.
It's all back day.
Backed up, man, so, after eating that deer.
Yeah, it's just like...
It's massive. Or it's not massive, it's muscular. You can't tell how big it is.
Right. And if it is indeed carrying a deer, though, they're saying that it's likely upwards of 9 feet tall because of how small the deer is in comparison.
Which, that height lines up with a lot of reports, too. A lot of cases that are on, like, YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, just massive. And there's a lot of conflicting stories about where this photo came about. Some people were saying it was footage from 2007 from a security camera footage. And other people are saying it was this guy driving down the road in his pickup and just happened to see this thing walking into the brush. But regardless, this might be, to my eyes, the most like clear proof captured on camera of Bigfoot that I've ever seen.
But it's not that clear, right?
It's pretty clear. You can see the fur. You can see the way that its head looks and its overall build.
Right, but you can't tell how big it is or what it's carrying.
A deer or some wood, something, I don't know.
So if it's a deer, then it's massive. But if it's wood...
Then they're going to build some houses.
Well, isn't that a nest? Like they're known to build forts in the woods.
Not out of not plywood, though, I don't think.
Not forts,
unless
but
they got some hammers.
They shove logs into like X's and shit.
They're beavers.
Pretty much land. Yeah, beavers. Muscular beavers.
Yeah. But yeah, so that photo is covered by Bob Gimlin. BOBGMLYN.
Well, LAN? Bob Gimlin?
Yeah. LYN, I thought.
I don't know. It's based on the guy.
This ain't a grammar podcast.
Shut the fuck up.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck
with
out.
With that spelling.
I don't know.
It's a house of learning doctors.
That's not
guys.
Even his real name, Bob Gimlin.
You sure?
It's a nod to the Peterson Gimlin.
Man, so, if I made up my own name, I'd at least give myself a cool name.
The Pete Gimlin or whatever Bob the fuck Gimlin. That guy's name is that recorded
the Bigfoot film.
That sexy Bigfoot walking through the woods,
walk, yeah.
Shaking its hips, just being seductive and looking at him.
So check that out. Back to the characteristics of the Moggian monster, though. I just wanted to say that another interesting thing is they're known to mimic birds, coyotes, and other wildlife, along with making unusual whistle sounds.
There they go. They catcall.
Yeah.
And then they come out from behind you, and you feel the cold, hot.
Yeah, you gotta
stick up against your butt.
You gotta dress modestly, guys, like the Amish when you're out in the sticks. Unless you won't get one. Nice. And in some reports, the monster is said to emit a blood-curdling scream, described as sounding like a woman in great distress.
Which, that's probably the creepiest thing about him.
That's like a banshee.
Aside from his height and appearance, the screaming like a girl's creepy.
Dana's afraid of women.
No, it's the screams of a woman in the middle of nowhere.
That is pretty scary.
Who?
Because, like you'd want to go help.
The other way.
You wouldn't want to go help? Like, hey, crazy lady, you okay?
No. Well, it would depend. Because it would sound like someone's in help. Someone's in help. I need help. Someone needs help. So it's creepy because it sounds like it's trying to make humans come towards it. It's
No, you know what it is?
Like a trap. It's a trap.
You know what it is, Dana? It's Willem Dafoe dressed up as the Green Goblin. That's what all this is. Guys, if you've seen Spider-Man.
Great power comes great. You know what I'm talking about. Sponsor-trilogies.
He dresses up as a woman in a brown sackcloth. Not saying that's like what a woman wears.
What the fuck are you saying, man?
Anyways. Going Remember the green track. The Green Goblin? He hides in a building and he's screaming like a lady. He's like, wah!
I don't remember.
And then Spider-Man comes in. He's like, Miss, are you okay? And then he turns around and punches him.
In the first Spider-Man?
It's probably what Bigfoot's trying to do.
In the first one?
Yeah.
That sounds creepy.
But,
so he screams like a girl.
Yeah, and he throws rocks.
He's got long hair, so he's kind of feminine.
Pretty sure he'd do graffiti if he had some spray cans.
What would he paint?
I don't know, man. I got nothing clever to say.
Okay.
We're moving on.
Let me just open up my other beer here.
What are you drinking, Dana? Why don't you tell the people?
I just opened up a can of Imperial Squatch. Juicy Haze IPA. It's a 9%.
It's a long green can.
It's got a Sasquatch face with the crown on the front. Pretty cool.
How does it taste? Tastes like Bigfoot's pee in a can.
It's kind of got a hoppy. It's very hoppy.
Great.
Get you some Imperial Squatch.
Yeah, so with this Mogian monster being a little bit more aggressive, there's some darker reports, and along with the decapitating deer before consuming them, first,
does he decapitate people?
Perhaps, but the first-hand accounts of the creature describe an eerie silence prior to the encounter, kind of like commonly surrounds predatory animals. The stillness that comes over the woods, like there's no birds chirping. There's no crickets or frogs burping, ribbiting. I don't know what frogs do, man. I never went to public school. I did.
You did. And that's why you're half fucked up.
But since the 1970s, reported sightings have ranged along the entirety of Arizona's Mogollon Rim.
Wait, since the 70s?
So along the Mogollon Rim, right? From Prescott, north to Williams, southeast to Alpine, and south to Clifton, right?
I don't know where any of those areas are.
Well, it's pretty much a giant square around Arizona. So it's a big area. And we're talking about
5,000 square miles.
Exactly. Of straight Bigfoot country. But the legend and lore of the Mogollon monster goes way further back, even as far as the 1800s. When early settlers of the region started having their own encounters with the monster.
The oldest documented sighting was reported in 1903, in which I.W. Stevens described a creature seen near the Grand Canyon. He said it had long white hair and matted beard that reached to his knees. It wore no clothing, and upon his talon-like fingers were claws, at least 2 inches long. A coat of gray hair nearly covered his body, with here and there a spot of dirty skin showing.
Some of that dirty skin.
It sounds like he was just looking at a hobo, man. That was really dirty.
You know, I'm starting to wonder if he was looking at a hobo.
Bare skin here and there.
Yeah, grew his beard down to his knees.
Yeah.
See, what a slob.
He later stated that after he discovered the creature drinking the blood of two cougars at the same time, it threatened him with a club and screamed the wildest, most unearthly screech.
This guy might have had some peyote while he was there in Arizona, because this sounds like a trip, doesn't it?
It sounds ridiculous.
What about this makes it seem that it's not like a man, though? I guess maybe the claws? It had at least 2-inch long claws on its fingers?
I don't know. It sounds like a Bigfoot that let himself go. Like a sad one that let his beard grow down to his...
He caught two cougars, so he's not doing too bad for himself.
It sounds like a feral Bigfoot. Like one that's not in the Bigfoot society or community.
It's a wild, wild Bigfoot.
It's a super wild one.
It's a wild, wild west.
One that even the regular Bigfoot Sasquatch are afraid of. It's that crazy.
Well, it's also weird that it was holding a club and that it threatened him with it. Because, like, I didn't think Bigfoot used clubs. I know he throws rocks, but I don't think he used clubs like Flintstones, you know?
Yeah, he's probably making that up.
I don't know, but that was in 1903. And then in the mid-1940s, cryptozoologist Don Davis. He recounted that he was in the Boy Scouts at a young age. At least I hope it was a young age, man.
I hope he wasn't leading the Boy Scouts to a dark cave.
And this is what he had to say about his encounter with the Mogollon Monster.
The creature was huge. Its eyes were deep set and hard to see, but they seemed expressionless. His face seemed pretty much devoid of hair, but there seemed to be hair along the sides of his face. His chest, shoulders, and arms were massive, especially the upper arms. Looked like he could bench me. They was easily upwards of 6 inches in diameter, perhaps much, much more. I could see he was pretty hairy, but didn't observe really how thick the body was. The face and head was very square. Square sides and squared up chin, like a box. You know them boxes.
I do know them boxes.
Yeah, that guy's account I really like. I obviously added in some embellishment. So, that guy's recounting is pretty crazy. He was in the Boy Scouts, so sometimes I wonder if maybe, like, something traumatic happened to him, and he came up with a story, a cover story, that was fantastical.
That bicep was something else.
Those were, like, old stories, but we do have some newer ones.
I do know that. I think the Native Americans or the White Mountain Apache Nation in Arizona, some of those people were reporting sightings, and they usually don't speak out about these. So they were seeing a bunch of them, a bunch of sightings, and they decided to
tell someone about it.
Tell a newspaper or officials about it. Even the police or the sheriffs were confirming the sightings.
Where was this at?
This was...
Actually, you told me. You said the White Mountain Apache
Nation.
So is in
their 2006, okay. Somebody by the name of Colite Altaha, I'm butchering her name here. I'm just going to call her Cole Alt. Control Alt Delete stated in 2006 that we're not prone to easily talk to outsiders, but there have been more sightings than ever before. It cannot be ignored any longer. No one's had a negative encounter with it.
Yeah, she's like, we gotta speak up about the Bigfoot in the room, you know?
Okay, so Marjorie, I'm killing all her names. Marjorie Grimes, that's a terrible last name. She lives in White River. So now you know. It's the primary town on the reservation.
Yeah.
When asked about her encounter, she reports that it was all black and it was tall. The way it walked, it was taking big strides. I put on the brakes and raced back and looked between the two trees where it was, and it was gone.
I wonder why she raced back.
That's a good question. It's like, maybe she was lonely?
Maybe she wanted to see what she saw.
Yeah, the tribal police even have said a couple times they've seen the creature looking through the windows.
You know why it was looking through the windows? It's because I heard that this beast has quite the sweet tooth, according to some bearded guy on a news station in Arizona. He said they love cookies, and I bet you they were looking in on those res cops eating their donuts, and they're like,
Do you think that's it?
Mm-hmm. I think I cracked the case.
You think that's why they invade people's campsites?
I don't know why the FBI isn't paying us right now, Dana. Crack cases.
I know.
Who knows? Not us. But these people do. In fact, there was a sighting as recent as May 2010. And there's more recent ones than that, but this is a Class A. If any of you want to go and look at sightings that have been collected, these people talk to the witnesses, they get a story, and they try to like vet these reports to make sure that they're legit.
They're not like drunks or like alcoholics or whatever.
They could be, but anyways, they do their due diligence.
Their due diligence.
Their due diligence, man. May 2010, Class A, which means it was a direct encounter. This is what the person
Critical hit. Bigfoot rolled a 20 and smacked him with his dick. Knocked him out cold.
Now I can't even read this. Because whatever I have to say is way less funny than that.
No. So, you gotta read it because I can't even see it.
It was 6 p.m. and I was supposed to meet my wife. My son and I were just getting ready to leave the campsite. As soon as I stood up from my chair, I saw what looked like a very large man in a ghillie suit walk across the opening in the trees to my left. I had a clear sight and it was very large. I could see the arms swaying and my son was able to see the legs separate as it stepped. It didn't seem to be in any rush and seemed to be walking rather casually, kind of slow, but it covered a lot of ground in a very few steps. As I said, I could see both arms swaying and it was not carrying a rifle or anything else that I could see. Hunting season had been over for at least a week, and the next one wouldn't start up for months. At this time, there was almost nobody out here, and nobody knew where we were. I had my son stand where it had walked, and the top of his head would have been where its shoulders were. My son is 6 feet tall. If it had been a man in a ghillie suit, the guy would have been at least 7.5 feet tall.
Wow, so that guy would in the ghillie suit would have been taller than Shaq.
7.5?
Yeah.
I thought Shaq was...
Shaq 7'1".
Yeah.
It's crazy tall. You don't see that every day.
No.
I thought it was going to say my son's 3 feet tall.
I know. I thought it was like his baby boy, not his... Giant
like getting ready for like not something that crazy. My son is 7 feet tall. Where his head was, his crotch was. That's my son.
And that was the other thing I was trying to say, guys. Before we get into the story, is that you can go to bfro.net, and you can find Bigfoot reportings based off state, and you can see a giant list and just look through them at your leisure. This next story was reported in 1990 It's a Class A, which also means it's a direct encounter with the Mogollon monster. And it was reported north of Flagstaff.
About 15 years ago, my girlfriend at the time and I took a trip from our home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to Los Angeles to visit my mother. On our trip home, we decided to stop by the Grand Canyon in Arizona because she had never seen it. We got there pretty late in the afternoon, and we stayed to view the sunset over the canyon. We departed for Flagstaff soon after it had gotten dark. We headed down a less traveled stretch of road as a shortcut. The road had next to no traffic on it. The highway was very curvy, and we had just come out of a turn into a fairly long straightaway when we noticed something walking down the right side of the road on the shoulder. Note, the rest of this took place in a matter of a few short minutes, although it seemed like an hour. What we saw was walking upright like a man, but was noticeably larger. As we got closer, my girlfriend said, "Is that a bear?" It was at that moment that it became visible that our companion on the road was covered head to toe in brown to light brown fur. It was also at that moment that I realized what we were looking at. I had seen enough TV and heard enough hunting stories from my dad. I stopped the car. Our headlights now shone into the area. The Bigfoot could see them, and it stopped as well. We were about 50 yards apart at this point, maybe closer. It then turned to face us. I'll never forget this moment. It is burned into my memory. At first, the animal turned its head slightly to look back, but its head seemed to be attached at the chest, so it had to turn completely to face us. We didn't make a sound. We were in complete shock. Our friend was about 7 feet tall and was covered head to toe in hair. The body was somewhat without definition, as in I didn't make out features like hips or gender. The arms seemed to be abnormally long, maybe to just above the knee. The face was mostly hairless and looked, well, kind of like a character from Planet of the Apes. But this creature definitely was from the ape family, with just a touch of human looks. The eyes seemed to glow a bit green, like a cat or dog in the headlights. It stood there for a matter of seconds, and I could tell that it was thinking about its next move. It took one small step in our direction. My girlfriend went berserk. She screamed in horror. It stopped its forward movement, looked around, and headed into the woods near the road in a couple of strides. I never got the feeling that it meant us any harm, but was very curious about what we were. You couldn't convince my girlfriend of that. The event shocked her for life, and she refused to ever talk about it again. It did take me years before I could tell my wife about my encounter. I am only posting my story for my own therapy and the hope that it will help someone else who has gone through something like this.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's a little bit of a taste, just a little sipper of what the Mogollon monster has been up to over the past, what is that, 30 years?
I don't know.
That last one went back pretty far. But now we want to tell you guys just a little bit about our trip, because we went to the Mogollon Rim up into like the 5,000 feet plateau overlooking the valley. And what did we see, Dana?
A lot of horse shit.
A lot of horse doo-doo. And we did some trails with our mom, as we said. It was freezing up there. But while I was there, I definitely could get the sense that there could be something hiding. Like, it would be really easy to hide behind those trees and rocks and to evade detection.
Up in the mountains, not in the desert.
Even in the desert, I feel like there's foothills and like you can get into these creek beds and these ravines. And especially if you're a apex predator and you have crazy animal spidey senses, I think you could evade detection pretty easily. And the other thing is that the Mogollon monster is said to be nocturnal. So I think another part of this might be the element that the reason people don't see it is because it's not out during the day when people are out.
Then what about infrared goggles?
What about them?
How come they don't see them with those?
Well, maybe they do, because guess who has most of that equipment? The military. Do you think the military is going to want to tell us? No. I think the military has known about these things forever. There's a lot of stories.
Why won't they tell us? Why can't they just classify it as another animal like a bear?
Because it breaks paradigms. It says things that if Bigfoot exists, there might be lots we don't know. And there is this guy, Basecamp Chris. He does Bigfoot videos.
Yeah, Basecamp Chris, we're a big fan of yours. We watch your videos every night.
Yeah, you made us alcoholics.
Yeah, well, I have to drink a beer every time I watch your
Every
video.
Time you do, Chris. Why would you do that
every
to
Every time
us?
You open a beer, I got to open one. And I got to pause it if I don't have a beer and go to the store and get a beer.
I love his. But the reason I bring him up is because he was talking about some stories that happened at Fort Worth in Washington.
Yeah, he kind of inspired this episode, too.
A little bit, yeah. So huge shout out to that guy.
Huge shout out.
Huge shout out.
We should do an collab sometime, babe.
Babe. Chris. You already on the babe.
We should do a collab sometime, Chris.
Have us out to your campfire. You can cook us a nice meal and tell us all about Bigfoot.
Yeah, and we'll prod you with our questions.
Just questions, nothing else. Anyways, you had mentioned that like people say like, hey, we don't see bear bodies.
No, because everyone's in fucking clothes.
We don't see dead bears. So what would you say to someone that's like, hey, you know what? Like Sasquatch, that all sounds cool, but we've never found any bodies, so...
Do they find bear bodies?
That's the thing, is they don't really.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's that out in the wilderness, there's a lot of predators. So if you keel over out in the wilderness, something's going to eat you. Might be Bigfoot, but there's a lot of stuff out there that's going to take care of the remains. This is the cycle of life. You know, nothing goes to waste. That's one. The other thing...
Of why we don't see him.
The other thing is that...
He's pretty shy.
These are such remote areas that the reason we don't find bear bodies could also... The reason we don't find dead bears could also be that it's so secluded from society that no one is in these places.
I don't know. I feel like we'd see something. What, do they bury their own? What, does the military come out when one of them dies and cleans it up every fucking time? They can't pull that off for hundreds of years.
I have a theory that if Sasquatch and the Mogollon monster are really as smart as they would have to be to evade detection, that they must have communities, they must have elderly homes, they must play old maid together, and when they get old and die, they might have some sort of burial practice.
Well, the scientific community definitely agrees that the sightings are either misidentifications or straight up hoaxes. The general consensus, at least.
Well, scientists are dummies, man. That's all I gotta say. Like,
grizzly bears used to roam the forests of Arizona up until the 30s.
I think that it's kind of an insult to people's intelligence to say that all of these sightings are misidentifications of animals, because I don't think people are stupid. I think people can see what a bear looks like.
I think people see what they want to see because of the telephone game, you know?
Me personally.
Like everyone tells the story and it gets out to different people and then it gets to reporters and then different people and it changes over time. So maybe it was a grizzly bear originally and then it turns into Bigfoot.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Vice versa. I personally am a believer and I think that they're out there and that enough people have encounters. People that have held their silence for 20, 30 years because they don't want to tell people what they saw because they know what will happen if they tell the world they saw Bigfoot.
Yeah, I think it's just the Bigfoot sightings. They've been around for so long. And those skeptic scientists think that such a large creature couldn't exist for so long and remain hidden.
But that's just it. These sightings prove that it's not remaining hidden. It's out there. It walks among us. It's alive.
Okay. And it, and it wants to integrate with us? Wants to come into town?
I don't think so.
Eat at Subway?
Based off the way it reacts to people, in a lot of these cases, it acts very territorial. And it's like, hey, you're in my space. You're in my woods now. And I'm going to stalk you. I'm going to
throw rocks at you.
I'm going to throw rocks. I'm going
to scream.
I'm going to scream at you.
Going to throw a tantrum.
Like a lady.
Tantrum, tantrum.
So yeah. I think what it is it's we have two worlds here. We have our world, our civilization, our man-made concrete jungles. And then if you get far enough out, it is a completely different place. And we are out of our depth because there's something else there, something that is in control, something that is at the top of the food chain, something big and something hairy.
It could even be related to aliens, you know, like the Travis Walton incident.
What's that?
It was an alleged alien abduction in Arizona. Actually, we were 30 minutes from where he was abducted.
What? Seriously? Yeah.
He was an American forestry worker, Travis Walton. November 5th, 1975, he was in the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest near Heber. It runs along the Mogollon Rim, and it's there where he was abducted for 7 days. His whole crew said he would disappeared and he was dead pretty much, and then he reappeared at a telephone booth and called his mom.
I wonder if he just went gambling and got, like, hookers and just, like, had a wild time. And then he's like, oh, fuck, I need to explain all this.
Yeah.
An alien abducted me.
Yeah, they probed me.
There was some probing.
Did things to me. Maybe. I don't know.
So he comes back, and what was different? Did he tell him what happened?
Yeah. He told him what they did to him, and it was really fucked up. They, like, inserted stuff into his throat. I don't think they probed him anally, thank God, but they did a lot of experiments on him.
Like Wet Willies.
And he said he thought he woke up in a hospital at first for the beginning, and then he realized they were really short and they had big eyes.
This is your doctor? He's going to shove this down your throat.
Realized
now.
He was in Japan.
Damn. For a whole week, huh?
Yeah. And he tells the same story. We'll have to check him out sometime because his story is kind of like the Benny Hill abduction story. There's something about it that's kind of genuine. Mm-hmm. He doesn't change it up. I will say I have skepticism because his whole family were UFO believers before he was abducted. Isn't that coincidental?
That's pretty... Well, they definitely were when he came back after being probed this way and that way.
But they were before.
This way, that way, and the other, man.
In the underway. Wow. I think we should wrap it up.
Yeah. Man, oh man. Guys, let us know what you think about this monster. Let us know what you think about Bigfoot. Is he real? Is he out there?
Have you seen him?
Or she?
Have you seen he or she, or do you know anyone that has?
Let us know. Send us a DM or a message if you guys have any other topics you want us to go over. As always, we super appreciate you guys listening to our episodes.
We very much do.
This was your host, Mayan.
This is your host, Dana.
And we just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
Stay safe out there, guys.